Welcome back, friends. We left off with a little teaser on Dark Night of the Soul, and we're going to very much come back to that moving forward. So, as you know, we want to do, we're going to define a term. This is from Merriam-Webster. What is a garden? A plot of ground where herbs, fruits, flowers, or vegetables are cultivated. 2, a rich, well-cultivated region. So it's, and 3, so it went specific, broad, and now very small, a container such as a window box planted with usually a variety of small plants. So I spoke briefly in the last episode about the gardening catalog. Tracking to spiritual books, Lives of the Saints, doctrine, maybe beautiful artwork. That is very true. We are in January. Is Thomas Aquinas in January? His feast day,
I think, I think it might be, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and talk about, nourishment for both the soul and the mind, taking up some work of Aquinas. And also sharing of your larder. So, God willing, you would have about, I know my grandmother always did, and when I was making preserves, I always did too, have enough to share. It's enough for your family, and it's enough to share. That aspect of friendship, mm-hmm. and the personal touch, because it's not just a head thing, looking up books or ideas, but also that engagement with other people. Both sharing of what you have, but also hearing what their experiences are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of the Aristotelian keys to happiness, right? That you have enough for yourself and more with which to be generous. And so bounty should always, this goodness that is being brought forth generally is overflowing, right? I mean, there's even the independent gardener who starts planting tomatoes finds that he has a difficult time keeping up with consuming that which he's bringing forth, right? Because God and even that which he makes can't be outdone in generosity. So from one seed, you think about something as simple as that, from one seed, from one tomato, the begetting, the amplification of goodness is something really to see that parallel between what is a physical concrete reality of recognizing an individual seed that grows forth into a big plant, right? The mustard seed that grows into a shrub big enough for the birds to put their nests in it. And with the same thing with a small amount of grace that is tended and watered and given that same level of care, one can only imagine the amplitude. If a seed can bring forth that amount of natural goodness, how beautiful it would be to be able to visually behold the goodness that can be brought forth from the amplification of the grace.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So to move this, ask this analogy forward with some action, we hope needs a plan. Because as we know from Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes a heart sick. And I need to, here's the caution to the dark night of the soul. And this occurred just so, Sarah's right. Where I live, in San Antonio, I'm harvesting my roses.
Right, yes. In the middle of December, yeah.
Got some
oranges. You in Juan Diego, right? You in Juan Diego.
Yeah, us in Juan Diego. And I'm just thinking life is grand. And I've got I'll put pictures up so you can see. So one garden box is full of the Swiss chard and the foxgloves and whatever else is in that. And it looks beautiful. It's just like the catalog. And then here's another one. I did absolutely great soil, did all the things wrong, did this, did that. And where are my cabbages? Well, just where are my cabbages? They're nowhere to be seen. I don't know. So what does that have to do with the dark night of the soul? Right. our blessed Lord is not a gumball machine.
No, you're right.
You know, and we'll make our plans, and we're going to go through with some of how some of these plans can be, and we're going to, you know, do all that we know to do. We've talked to our neighbor, and we did that, and you know, we're having this trial, right? And the fruit is not there as we anticipated it to be. And I don't want us to feel that as we go through this, it becomes something like, that's one of the sins, right, with the occult. That's one of his many, many sins, is that you're trying to do certain actions so as to manipulate an action from God. Okay. And that's not the deal here. Though he is so gracious that would, even in the beginning, when it kind of might look like that, he more than meets us halfway. But, you know, you go further into following him, there'll be a point where, is it? Why are we here? Kind of a thing. And so I did want to make
that. When all the work seems as though it was for naught, right? Because unfortunately, in our way of thinking, we become very much outcome based people, which is an unfortunate reality, because there is so much goodness in the doing. And sometimes I think that we lose the forest for the trees a bit in regards to that, because we think that the doing of something must inevitably bear the fruit, you know, that we want from it. And yet sometimes, particularly and in gardening, you know, maybe, you bought bad seeds, or maybe, you know, there was some element that you skipped, or maybe the rain didn't fall. I mean, there are a number of things that you yourself have very little control over, but you'll always have control over the excellence of your labor. And there is something, you know, there is just an innate goodness in that nothing is lost in this economy of salvation. Even when we thought that we were foreseeing something that should be, that seems to be the natural byproduct of the actions, even when that does not come to fruition, nothing has been lost, because the investment of the self into the labor might be all that our Lord wanted. It might be, that might be all that was necessary.
You brought up two distinct ideas when you were saying that, and it's altogether true. One was for Mother Teresa, and the other is from Ratzinger. Mother Teresa, the Lord doesn't call us to be successful. Right. He calls us to be faithful. It's the fidelity that matters. And Ratzinger, he had the insight, and it wasn't too long ago, I was having this very conversation with others on how the servants go out in the field, it's the parable, and it seems like the guy at the end gets the same wage as the one who had been in all day, and it doesn't look fair, except for, here's the key with Ratzinger, with Sarah, just, they were doing the Lord's work. They were laboring with the Father, right? The elder son had spent all his life working with the Father while the young son was profligate.
Yeah.
That in and of itself
is a grace. Absolutely.
It's a grace. Gift. It is a grace.
But how easy we are to close our eyes to that, because we want a reward. You know, we demand an outcome. I mean, and I don't know if that is a particular disorder of modernism, or if that is because we are so habituated to be able to do things with excellence, right? We've tried so hard to quote unquote conquer nature, right? That we expect nothing but success. And I like I said, I don't know if that's necessarily a particular disease of modernism and this fanaticism of scientism that we are being inundated with. But it does seem to me that, you know, like a person like Job, or even like, you know, a medieval peasant, would have had a more real understanding that his labor only went so far, And that at some point there had to become a natural reliance on providence. And we have kind of arrogantly usurped so much of providential outcome because of our ability to understand nature so much better, right? So it's all outcome pushed now instead of the investment being in the integrity of the actions themselves, right? And even now we become so tired of the actions themselves that we are now trying to automate ourselves out of our own industry and yet still get some type of outcome from it. And that's really it's going to be a very great sorrow to the human person when he removes himself from the labor of his outcomes. I mean, because like you were saying, the profligacy of the prodigal son, where he literally finds himself at a point where there's nothing that he can do to satisfy the longing of the love of the father, right? He's wasted everything, and he's driven only back to the father by an absolute lack, right? That absolute deficit of anything that satisfies. And I mean, that's a sorrow, right? It's a sorrow that man may have to come to that point. But I do think that this conflict that we are kind of finding ourselves in right now with this outcome-based mentality that only something that is produced is valuable is going to cause a really great crisis for the human person.
I think so. All right, my friends, we're going to pick up with different types of gardens in the next episode. Till then, fides adoratio.